All right.
Get all my good stuff together. Thank you. Do appreciate everything. Appreciate that good Sunday school lesson. Appreciate Eric stepping up and taking care of that. And always good, man. I'm telling you, it's always good to hear something from the Lord. And it's like I said the other day, you don't have to run the aisles and swing from the chandeliers and kick holes in the walls and throw offering plates and jump up and down on the pews if you just give me that word. Amen. Yeah. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And I'm telling you, man, I can sit down without a crowd, without a quartet, without any spotlights, without anything in the world but my Bible. Hallelujah. And sit down over there and read the word of God. And I understand exactly what David said. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, I get plumb happy within myself. Amen. Begin to rejoice. My soul doth rejoice in his word. And I'm telling you, his word's good. That word made some connections this morning. Amen. Just reading that word, him reading that word was making some connections this morning with other passages through that Bible. Made me think of things. And I thought about this, Eric. All those people over there in that wilderness, and God trying to give them that promised land, and their unbelief, and all the stuff that, and all the stuff he went through with Gideon there. How God wants to bring that to our home. That's the things that God has for our homes. And if we would just be obedient, then our homes could be a promised land. Sure it would. A little piece of heaven on earth. That's all we've got here, ladies and gentlemen. That home is the best thing we've got to heaven. And so thank God for that. And if the home is, listen, if the home is not a piece of heaven on earth, then you might ought to start examining yourself. And I'm glad he got that there five times, that number of grace. God displayed his grace in the life of Gideon. Five times Gideon was over there questioning God. And the fifth time, thank God, he finally got it. That grace kicked in on him, huh? Lord displayed that grace of his. But I'm telling you, if your home is not where it ought to be, then you ought to go back through some of them scriptures we looked at this morning. And go, why ain't my home where it ought to be? Because that's what God's dealing with us today as much as he was dealing with them in the promised land. He wants our home to be that to us. And there's reasons why it isn't. So you figure it out for yourself what's up with your situation. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, if you have your Bible, I sit over there and grin, Eric, and smile and laugh. And because it's amazing that, you know, I told Eric what I wanted him to preach was on that Old Testament church, how good they took care of Aaron. I want him to blister your hide. Just, man, we're to take care of God's man, how they brought him food and his, you know, they just took care of all of his needs. And he wouldn't preach on that this morning. He's rebelling. But it's amazing that when he reads that word, how close it was to what God's laid on my heart. It's amazing. I don't care if it's Eric or Zach or who. It seems like everything's just like a dovetail around here. That God just, you know, puts it all together. And I didn't, other than telling him that y'all were to start, you know, being better to me. I mean, I got up this morning and I was looking around the house and couldn't find one stinking Christmas present, Miss Stephanie. Bass Pro Shop thing went out of business. They still open, y'all. They got a brand new Cabela's down there outside of Carowinds. You can go to Carowinds and stop at Cabela's for me. That's right. Have a big day. Got that Bass Pro Shop. They still open in Concord. And I looked around the house, couldn't find one prayer. I said, it's a crying out loud shame. I hope he preaches on that Old Testament priest. But I'm glad you did what you did, Eric. Thank God it lines up with what the Lord's laid on our heart. And we're going to follow up with what we started Wednesday. I hope you liked Wednesday. And we're going to follow up on that today. So Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to go back to this thought on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And I want you to understand there's a couple different kinds of fears in your Bible. There's some things that you ought to fear and there's some things you ought not to fear. If God tells you to do something, you're not having no fear. That's what Gideon and them had to do. They had to deal with some fears, man. They was worried about some things. When God tells you to do something, you ain't got to worry about it. Amen. When God says it, he'll take care of it. They didn't have to worry about them giants over there in the land. God done told them it was their land. They had to fear them giants. Bible said, fear not what man can do to thee. That's right. I ain't worried about what man can do, but we ought to fear the Lord God. Now, somebody made the statement. Brother Asquith and I were talking that, you know, you get these religious idiots that says, perfect love casteth out fear. Let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all got perfect love? How many of y'all live in that glorified body? How many of you ain't messed up? How many of you don't have sin every once in a while pops up in your life? Which one of us has got perfect love? We ain't got no perfect love, not yet. We will one day. Now, there are days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just laying a foundation. There's days in your life where you can be close enough to God. There's days in your life where you are clean. There is days in your life where you're walking in the Spirit and you're plugged in. Man, you're living holy. The last thing on your mind is fear in God. There is no fear. Why? Because you're walking in harmony with the Savior. You're walking in that Spirit. You are dwelling in the Holy Ghost. You are walking through the Word. That fear is not even there. It's not like you're walking around eating your nails off your hands. You got to do that. But there's times where we are going to fear Him, and there's times where we ought to fear Him. And so, just give that out because, yeah, people, you know, well, perfect love. You ain't got perfect love. And when you do, you won't have no fear. That's right. And you're walking in that perfect love, there'll be no fear. But there's times where you better have it. It's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, for sinners not to fear the Lord. It's one thing for a lost person not to fear Him, and they should fear Him. But the thing that gets me more than anything is to see the so-called church not fear Him. People that's been raised in church, people that's been preached to, people that's had the gospel not hid from them, but they've had been given plenty of light and still yet fear not the Lord. When I look at the world and how the world lives, I say within myself, the world don't fear God. This world has no fear of God. I mean, they're the ones that make the bumper stickers, aren't they? No fear. The ones that make the t-shirts, no fear. And but the world don't have any fear for the Lord. But unfortunately, I have to see the other side as well with those that are called by His name. People that go to church and people that claim the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, some of the biggest idiots I've ever met in my life on the job, babe, was some of those people that went to church. Some of the filthiest mouth people I've ever worked on the job with were some of the people that went to church, told the nastiest jokes, lived the most ungodly lives, and it seemed like they was disciplining for everybody to see. And man, I'm telling you, as a child of God, that it's my business because they're bringing my family into it, the church family. And I have to confess, they as well fear not God. No fear of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12. I'm sorry, chapter 10, verse 12. I said 11, verse chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Pretty much what we was dealing with in Sunday school this morning. Verse 12, he said, to walk in all of His ways. God is not interested this morning in half-hearted Christianity. God's not interested as somebody that lives for God about half the time. He's not interested in that. He didn't give us a Bible, ladies and gentlemen, that we could take. And unfortunately, the world has got this confused and most of the church has it confused. But the Lord didn't give us a Bible to pick and choose what we like and don't like and what we obey and don't obey. He gave us a Bible that we just take it at His Word and just say, yes, Lord, You're right, I'm wrong, and obey the Word of God. Whatever it says, we are to take it and obey it. He didn't give us this Bible to pick and choose. He didn't give us 7 days a week to decide which days we're going to live for God and which days we're not. God's not pleased with somebody that lives for Him 6 days a week.
God's not pleased with somebody that listens and obeys 65 books of the Bible. He's not pleased with that. Say, man, I'm doing good. No, you're not doing good. God's not pleased with 65 books of the Bible. God's not pleased with living holy 6 days a week. He's not pleased with that. Did you hear what I said? He's not pleased with you living holy 6 days a week. God's pleased with you living holy 7 days a week, 66 books of that Bible every day of your life. That's what pleases God. It's not going to please him to serve God today and not tomorrow. He said to love him. That's what we ought to do. What we do is love him, and it's how we live, it's how we walk, and we ought to walk out of love for him, right? We're not walk because it's our duty, it is our duty, but he's not a taskmaster. We ought not have to walk around with dread and fears and regrets, and man, we're to walk in love for Jesus. We're to serve him because we love him. But enough for me. Let me make this real clear. Those that are truly saved, those that truly love him, they don't say well. People that truly love God, when you read the Bible or you hear the Bible preached, people that truly love the God kind of forget the word well. They forget the word but. And that word yes comes in real common. It's not a good thing to butt the Bible and to question the Bible. It's just a good thing to obey the Bible. Yeah. If you truly love him, you'll love the Word of God. Listen to what John 14:15 says. This is the Bible. John 14:15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Huh? And I quote that quite a bit. And I'll probably quote it quite a bit more because people get confused sometimes. I love the Lord, and yet they keep not his commandments. That's the image this world has set up. That's the Jesus that Satan has given us. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be honest with you. Let me tell you what the Bible says. If you love God, you'll do what the Word of God says. Right. You'll walk in it. You'll keep his commandments. Not what that preacher said this morning. Not part of the commandments. Read the book of Deuteronomy. Jump over there and read them first 5 books of your Bible and see if God allows you to walk in partial steps, on partial commandments, partial commands. See if he allows that. God don't allow that. He said in all his commandments, you keep them all. Church, we all understand that Jesus is not physically going to come back here in this life. He's not going to physically come back here. One of these days he's coming back and we're going to be called out, and then Jesus is coming back and he's going to take over the throne. We understand that. But today, tomorrow, Jesus don't come for the next 10 years. Listen, he's not coming down here walking across planet Earth again. He's not going to walk across the shores of Galilee. He's not going to walk down the streets of Knoxville. He's not going to head down through Winston-Salem. But you know who is? His children. We're to walk in his commandments. We're to walk his walk and to talk his talk and to live his life. We're to carry on with him, for him, and him through us. He's depending on us to carry his ministry through this world. He's going to minister through his children. It's important for us to walk in his commandments. It's important for us to do what God said do. He walks through those that have been born again. Are you listening? He walks through Knoxville, North Carolina, through the people that's been born again. He'll walk through your neighborhood, through the people that's been born again. He'll come down on your job through the people that have been born again. That's how Jesus makes his way down in your world. You read the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 10, no doubt Deuteronomy and those other books in the Bible, and probably 3/4 of them, was written to the Israelites, the children of Israel. No doubt about that. There's no question who it's written to. But you must understand that the commandments that they were given are the same principles that God uses in the church age. Same principles. Yeah. Same exact principles. God ain't changed them principles. God ain't changed them standards. It's still the same standard. You say, preacher, I disagree. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you disagree with that, then tell me before you even head out of here what kind of cigarettes you'd like to smoke. And then you go over to Walmart, stop down there, if the principles aren't the same, and you just walk in Walmart, start hitting yourself, back your car up to the door, start hauling out televisions and clothes, and you just get everything you want, close the trunk, never see the cashier, and head on. I'll meet you down there at the jailhouse somewhere, because God said way back yonder in the Old Testament, thou shalt not steal. And friend, it's still the same principles back then as it is today. God ain't changed them principles and standards. Yes, it was written to the children of Israel, but I'll promise you unto God, it's the same principle for you and I. When God said for them to fear, He told us to fear. When He wanted them to walk in His commandments, He wants us to walk in it. What is His commandments? Not only thou shalt not steal, but His commandments are walk in the Spirit. His commandments are, grieve not the Spirit. His commands are, you must be born again. Them were His commands as well as, thou shalt not kill. All that talk about children being disobedient in Deuteronomy is still true in Peter's writings, ladies and gentlemen. The very thing that Peter talked about in his writings are the same exact things that Jesus or Moses was dealing with over in the book of Deuteronomy about being obedient to the Lord. Same principles. I'm saying this to say it's still okay and still right to give your whole heart to God. Is that not what the verse says? It's still okay to give your whole heart to God. It's still right to serve Him wholeheartedly. Thank God. It's still right to, maybe bad terminology, but it's still right to sell out to Jesus. It's still right to give Him your all. Sure it is. It's amazing, isn't it, how many of us, even sitting in the congregation today, are wasting some precious time in our life by not giving Jesus everything. Isn't it amazing how many years can roll off of our lives, Stephen? I'm talking about these young years. Man, while we still got health and ability and a little spunk, maybe a spring in your step to go out and do something. I mean, to make some headway. And yet we waste time and not give Jesus our all. I mean, we hold reservations in our heart. Man, we got little things that we're holding on to. And there's reserves in our life that we hadn't sold out and give to God. And it's wasting precious time where we could be doing something for real for Jesus. But instead, we got these reservations in our life. Things that we're holding on to, areas we won't submit. The time that you're lost, the time that you're not seeking after God, you understand that you can actually be using that to honor God with your whole heart. Go on another day lost, that's another whole day, 24 hours that you wasted, that you could have been giving to the Lord, that God could have been receiving glory out of your life. That's another 24 hours that God could have received some honor out of your life. But no, it's all for want, it's all for nothing. Why would not give Him everything we've got? Brother Allen's preached it, Brother Sammy's preached it so well. And he says that there's people that's more than glad, Steve, to take the keys to their life. Them little rooms in our heart, if our heart was divided up in rooms, we'd take those keys, Miss David. There's a lot of people that's willing to take 99 of those keys and give them to the Lord, but they hold on to that one key. Maybe it's two keys. Maybe it's three or four. I don't know. But there's areas in our life, there's areas in our heart that we're holding on to, that we space and things in our life that we won't turn over to Jesus Christ. Where we ought to just hand Him the master key and say, Lord, here's my whole heart. You take and do what you will. It's your life. Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I. Send me. God, it's your life now. I'll give you the master key. I'm going to give you the master key. I'm going to give you the key to every space, every spot, every crevice, every area of my life. Jesus, you're holding the key now. You're my Lord. You're the Lord of my life and my heart.
texted Tim McVeigh last night, and I told him, Brother McVeigh, if you're holding on to 1/100th of a space, listen, if you're holding on to 1/100th or 1/1000th or 1/1000000th of an inkling of a space in your heart, something that you won't surrender, some area that you ain't come clean with God, just one little inkling of a spot, the thought of a spot, if you ain't turned that over to God, you fit in the category of a lukewarm Christian. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that you can live 99% holy and fit in the category of a lukewarm Christian? Because you're not hot and you're not cold, but you're somewhere in between. God don't have the all, friend. And I'm telling you, you can have all this stuff turned over to Him, and you can go to church 3 days a week, and you can attend the revival meetings 5-6 days a week, and you can go to Sunday school, and you can read your Bible, but yet you can hold on to a key to some area in your life and still be lukewarm, still be indifferent, and still be distant from the Holy God. God wants our all. Wants our all. It's not that hard. It is in your own strength, your own power. It's like the Sunday school teacher said this morning. Friend, God does it in such a way where only God can get the glory. I mean, that makes no sense. And I've said it 100 times in here. It makes no sense why you would go get a bunch of firewood, put it on an altar, then go get 12 barrels of water and soak all that wood down with water. We would use kerosene. But not God, friend. God uses water to light fires. Amen. God fights battles. He sends the multitude home. Man, He'll take a little old remnant, man, and go out there and face thousands. I'm telling you, friend, God will do the same thing in mine and your life. He'll turn everything upside down and backwards. And nobody will be able, everybody will look at you and say, how in the name of God is he living that life? It's because of God, friend. It's God. That's how he gets glory and honor out of our life. My heart's desire, ladies and gentlemen, is for this congregation, first of all, is that this congregation be redeemed. My heart's desire, the yearning and the longing, the pain that's in my heart is to see people come to know Jesus. And sometimes we come to church and you see a move of God in people's heart or maybe in their life, and then all of a sudden see there's a blankness. It's not there anymore. And you preach and you pray and you search the scriptures and you pour your heart out and you agonize in prayer and you come back to church and you see the blankness. No God, no concern, no conviction. Man, my desire is to see this church know God and know God in a real way. I'm going to be real nice about this, Miss Stephanie. But isn't it amazing that in America, you can preach the Word of God and people won't even look at you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame.
Now, if I had my old grandpa up here, I'd ask him just to grab you by the hair of your head and beat your head to death. Amen. It'd do you real good. You say, that's mean. It may be, friend, but it ain't nearly as mean as dying and going to hell. I'm going to tell you something. You'll look God in the eyes one of these days. That's right, you won't put your head down on God. You ain't going to stand up there and disrespect Him. Why in the name of God would you do something like that today? Not face God righteously. Oh, God help us. My heart's desire is to see this congregation saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want every man, every woman, every boy, every girl underneath the sound of my voice to be forgiven of their sins and to be born again by the precious Lamb of God. Well, that said, if I do preach the Word, listen, if I do preach the Word and you're not stirred and you're not troubled and you're not convicted, if you cannot look the preacher in the eyes, if you can disrespect the Word, I said if you can disrespect the Word of God and bow your head down while the Word of God is just being read, listen to me. You don't fear God, friend. You don't fear God. That's your problem. You don't fear God. We're living in a fearless society. God said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments.
come in the house of God and disrespect His word. In America, friend, you hear me? I'm telling you, it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for some of us. Sodom never had a Bible preacher. They never had a Bible church. Oh, God, and He opened up the ground and swallowed that crowd. That fire and brimstone opened up on them. I'm going to tell you, America will say, I'm not fearing God. I said, if you can come to church and you're lost and the Word of God be proclaimed and you're not stirred and you're not convicted and you're not troubled, you have no fear of God, friend. You have no fear. That's all it is. You want to die and go to hell in your arrogance. You want to die and go to hell in your foolishness. You hear me? You're going to take your little religion, your little church membership, all the times you went to church, all the times you had to look at that Bible, all the times you had to listen to a Sunday school teacher, every time a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a son or a daughter ever said anything about God. I'm telling you, friend, you'll take that and you'll go to hell with that and deal with that for all eternity. Can I be honest with you? The night I got saved, I didn't know all the terminology, Steve. I didn't know an inkling of what I know now, and I don't know anything much now. But listen, church, when God showed me the real me, man, I tell you, when we sing that old song, and it says, I trembled at the law that I spurned, I didn't even know that was the case. I didn't know that was going on. But now I look back, man, I sing that song, that's exactly what happened to me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified. Well, when God turned the lights on and began to show me like He saw me, I began to tremble in my soul. I'm telling you, my soul trembled. I was fearful of God. I was fearful of His wrath. I was fearful of the judgment of God in my life. Amen. Trembled. It's not a song. It's Bible, church. It's not lyrics some man wrote somewhere sitting by the river. It's the Word of God. It came from the throne room of heaven. I trembled at the law that I spurned. Feared God. I was doing pretty good until I heard the Word of God. I was doing pretty good till the Word of God turned the lights on in my soul and revealed to me what I really was. That's right. Has run along doing just fine. And God began to show me. Boy, I'm telling you what, when I got to see me like He saw me, what an awful mess. When I got to saw where I was heading and how I was going to spend eternity, ladies and gentlemen, I trembled before God in my soul. That's right. I can remember sitting in churches, not even that long ago. But I can go all the way back to being a kid, Mama, and sitting in Temple Baptist Church, and listening to Hank Halbo preach. And I can remember, Miss Stephanie, that people sometimes would grab the pews in front of them and squeeze it. I can remember, not just in their soul, but in their body, under conviction, Eric, they'd sit there and shake, some of them. I remember watching this little boy, and I didn't even know what all was going on, but I can remember their knuckles turning white, grabbing them pews and holding on to them, and sitting there shaking and trembling. You say, what was that? God was showing them. He was jerking the covers off and letting them see their wretchedness, their vileness, their eternity without Him. Some I seen Michael get up and make their way to a holy God, and some I seen dart out that back door. And some of them I seen dart out that back door, ladies and gentlemen, are dead and in hell today, according to their testimony. And they'll live with that. They'll remember that. They'll hear the call of that gospel. They'll feel that drawing of God Almighty throughout all of eternity. And I'm telling you, son, it's something to fear in the day that we live. It's something to fear. Why is this important? Why is that fear so important? Because when you understand the seriousness of eternity and where you're headed without God, if there's still half of a sail left in your head, then you ought to tremble with fear before God.
That's right. I tell you who don't, Miss Stephanie, a fool doesn't. God help us to get past it. It reminds you once more. So, preacher, you preach this stuff all the time. That's exactly right. I'm going to. Man, the Bible ain't changed. We don't need to go any further than some of this stuff. Because your Bible says it's appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. Listen, congregation, when this congregation gets a hold of that as a whole, maybe we can get off of that verse. But I'm going to tell you something. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. Miss Davey, I just canceled a dentist appointment. God knows I needed it, but I couldn't afford what they told me it was going to cost. I called dinner and said, I can't afford it, even with my dental insurance and everything else. I said, I can't afford it. I just had to cancel the appointment. They took me off the list. And I tell you, you might have doctor's appointments, and man, they might be something to come up. And you have to call in at the doctor's office and say, man, I'm just not going to be able to make it. But can I promise you unto God one thing? It's appointed unto man wants to die. You're not going to call and cancel that. It's appointed that you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die one of these days. And you're going to face God. What you did on this side with Jesus Christ is going to make all the difference in the world. What he does with you on that side. What you doing with Jesus? Well, I'll tell you one thing. How you respond to the fear of the Lord make a difference in your eternity. You hear me? It's amazing. We don't fear God enough anymore. Canceled everything in the world, but I promise you one thing, you're not going to cancel death. God Almighty has set this appointment, and you're going to make it. Look at verse 13, Deuteronomy 10:13. Boy, I like it. Verse 12, I'm going to read it one more time, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? I said that's written to Israel, but church, same principle for you and I. Let me say this. And now, church, what does the Lord require of thee? Now, American, what does God require of thee? Excuse me, now, Filipino, what does God require of thee? What does he require of you and I? What is God, the God of all creation, what does he require out of me and you? It's not real deep. Doesn't leave anything to the imagination, does he, Eric? He said, but to fear the Lord thy God. Fear him. Then he said, to walk in all of his ways and to love him. You do all this out of love and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Verse 13, he said, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Why did God say to do this stuff? Why did God want you to keep his statutes? Why does God want you to walk in his ways? Why does God want you to fear him? Listen, this is real deep. The end of verse 13 says, for thy good. It's for your good. I don't want it, preacher. No, I don't. I don't want no good. I want misery and trouble, and I want heartache and pain, and man, I want my children to go to hell, and I want my spouse to just raise Cain the rest of my life, and I don't want no peace in my home. Listen, friend, God said I can give you peace in your home. I can help you with your children. I can make this life a pleasant life, a good life, a joyful life, a life of peace of heaven on earth. I can do that if you'll just fear me, walk in my ways, all my ways, and keep my commandments. It's for your good. He said, you do this for your good. God don't need any more good. He's peaked out on good. If God had a tachometer of good, that thing would be so past the red zone, friend. He's so good, it's pathetic. And all the time. Look at Psalms 19, please. God just wants us to do this stuff for our good. Man, he wants to bless us. But he can't bless us when we won't give him our all. He can't bless us when we don't fear him. He can't be good to us like that. Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Boy, y'all could probably quote this. Converting the soul. Ain't that so? Hallelujah. Amen. They say, don't preach the law. Boy, we ain't under the law. Let me tell you something. You're going to go to hell without it. Thank God it's the law of God, James, that showed up on me down there. It was the law of God that showed me my violations against the Holy God. Hey, it was the law of God that brought me to Jesus Christ. It was the law of God that hung me up down in that courtroom and said, guilty, 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 condemning. And grace stepped in and said, you know what? I got this. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God there was that law that took me over there where that grace was. Yeah. He said that law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Thank God. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That's the word of God, y'all. Making wise the simple. The statutes, there's the word, y'all, of the Lord are right. Rejoicing. You know what the word of God does? It makes my heart happy. You know what the word of God does? It makes my heart rejoice. I'm telling you, friend, the word of God will rejoice your heart. Amen. You got a sad heart. You got a down heart. You got a downtrodden heart. Pick up that blessed book. Read the word of God. It'll pick your heart up. It'll put a song in it. It'll put a spring in it. It'll put a smile on it. It'll put some sunshine in there. Amen. That's the word of God. Rejoices your heart. Can you say enough about that book, friend? Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean. David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Instead, he said, when you walk in all of his ways, when you fear him, he'll give you a clean life. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been dirty. I don't like it. I've had sin in my life, Steve. I've messed up, son. And I've messed up and sinned. And it makes you feel so grungy and nasty in your soul. I'm telling you, church, it's just a terrible feeling. Boy, it's so good. Thank God to get over at Jesus and get that thing cleaned up. Man, get back in the Word of God and let Him clean your life. Ain't nothing like being clean in Jesus. Ain't nothing like having a clean life. Ain't nothing like having a clean conscience, a clean heart. Hey, man, just clean living. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. That's what he said. The fear of the Lord is clean and it's enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It'll produce a clean life. That's what it'll do. The word of God. Obeying it. And the fear of God. The fear of God. Because the fear of God, Miss Stephanie, will help you walk in the Word of God. The fear of God will help you to walk in all of His ways. Eric, I don't want to get out of His ways. The Bible said, I believe it was over in Jeremiah, I believe 29, it's not in a man to direct his steps. Friend, God, that's why he said in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. God shall direct your steps. He'll direct your path. I'm telling you, man, I want to walk in the paths of God. What is that? The Word of God. It's a lamp. That word's a lamp unto my feet. Brother Sammy said, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. He said, that means it'll light you up from here to eternity. Amen. I mean, son, you can walk right on up out of this world in the light of God. You hear me? Thank God. Well, being clean, ladies and gentlemen, means that there's going to be abstinence in your life. You can't be clean and rub up to vile affections. You just can't. You can't be clean and rub up against sin. You can't be clean and live close to wretchedness. But I tell you what you'll do if you'll walk in the fear of God and walk in all of His ways. It'll keep you from vileness. It'll keep you from wretchedness. It'll keep you from sin. Sure it will. Wherewithal shall a young man, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Right. Clean, boy. Hallelujah.
Son, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know some old boys that do. Son, you get that record of Sponge Downtown when you've been a little old hoodlum and they wipe your record clean, son, that's a happy day. You hear me? I'm telling you, I know enough about this to know what I'm talking about. When they open them prison doors out there and they say your debt to society's been paid and you're a free man, son, that's a happy feeling for them old boys. Man. And I tell you, when you start walking in the ways of God and God opens them old bars up in your life, son, it's a happy day in your life. You're clean, man, you're free, you're debt free. Man, you don't know this whole life, nothing else. You don't know this world, nothing else. Amen. Good. Look at Psalms 115. We'll take this time and just go through some of these scriptures. Psalms 115. Well, I tell you, Miss Hannah wrote Eric some good notes this morning. He didn't mess up one time. It was good preaching, Miss Hannah. Good preaching. Where's my verse here? Oh, look at verse 13. 115, 13. It's good stuff. Listen at what God said. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. You won't be blessed? God don't care, ladies and gentlemen, how big you are. He don't care if you're sitting on the throne in the White House or if you're sitting on the throne at the poorhouse. God don't care how pretty you are. He don't care how ugly you are. He don't care how fat you are, how skinny you are. We do, but he don't. Well, maybe he does. God don't care how much money you got and how broke you are. He don't care. I'll tell you what he said. From the greatest to the smallest, if you'll just fear him, he'll bless you. That's right. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. You don't have to be a big shot, but you can be a big shot. You can be a big shot, a little snot. You can be anything in this world, son. If you'll fear God, he'll bless you. Amen. Hallelujah for that, Miss Stephanie. I'm just a nobody. You hear me? But I'm blessed by God Almighty. God's been good to me, church. Been good to me. You know what? That don't sound like your average church message anymore, does it? You want to be blessed by God? You want to be blessed by God? Fear him. You know what the average church says today? You want to be blessed by God? Where's that offering plate? Sow you a seed over there. Sow you a seed in that offering plate. What's God bless you? That ain't what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Bible said you want to be blessed by God? Fear him. Now, you're not going to be blessed if you sit around keeping his commandments. Hey, friend, listen to me. 10% belongs to the Lord. 10% of everything you make belongs to God. I don't get paid. Let's straighten this out. I don't get paid at this church. I don't take a salary. I don't get anything other than what y'all don't give me for Christmas. I don't get an income whatsoever. If I don't go out and make it, I don't make it. My birthday's coming up. Y'all make sure y'all can take care of every bit of that guilt for Christmas. Wouldn't it be something if the average church says, hey, you'll be blessed? Put some money in the offering plate. And your crazy, poor, needy preacher stands up here and says, you won't be blessed? Fear God. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Walk in all his ways. Michael, God will bless your home. He can raise that little boy up to be a man of God. That's what we can. I can see them little girls one day, if God has his way, I can see them putting their arms around a great man of God one day and walking with them through this old world. Ain't much of that going to be left, are you listening?
Yeah.
I can see them little boys back there walking with God. Do you hear me? Ain't much of that going to be left when them boys is our age. Mm-hmm. God's always had him a remnant, always will. Don't you ever doubt that. God always had him somebody to share the gospel of Jesus, always.
Friend, wouldn't it be something to see God raise something up out this little old cornfield out here? Huh? Out this little whatever they're growing next. Before you know it, North Carolina, they've been about to grow marijuana. I told Steven, I said, I won't smoke none of that dope if they legalize it, but I'm going to get real close and get me some of that secondhand smoke with them folks that are. I might stand outside in front of a restaurant if they start smoking that stuff and go, hey, what's up? No, I see some of y'all looking at me like, preacher, don't tell all the truth. Oh, God help us. Y'all see they're trying their best to legalize that junk in North Carolina. Fighting for it. The wolves will show up. You know what wolves wear? They wear wool suits. They wear nice suits, Miss Stephanie. They wear them sheep's clothes. I told Brother McVeigh one time, I said, them old false preachers, them heretics, them hirelings, they wear them wool suits to church. They got people, they all in people's wallet. And listen to me, if they ain't in their wallet, then they're in their conscience and they're trying to make them feel bad for not giving their last time. Hey, listen, I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen preachers work the crowds for money. I've seen them work their conscience and stuff, try to play them little guilt games with them. Friend, listen, the Bible says if you'll fear him and walk in all of his ways, he'll bless you. You know, a lot of people think, Steve, I'm going to take it a step further than the preachers. Many times our young people don't think they have to line up with the things in the book. Are you listening? A lot of times, Michael, our children don't think that they have to line up with the stuff that's in this book because mom and dad didn't in the home. See, mom and dad usually set a standard down there, and usually whatever. See, my mama didn't believe in us going to the movies, and I might have snuck off and went to a few. But I never did really. I felt terrible. I thought, man, she lied so good. She's such a good liar. Maybe it wasn't a lie. She said, y'all go there at that movie theater. Jesus is coming back. He ain't going by the movie theater. He's going to leave y'all behind. So I was scared to death sitting in that stinking movie theater. You hear me? I go there at that movie theater and I be praying, God, don't come back. Not till we get. I was lost anyway. It didn't matter if I was sitting in church. I'd been left behind. But you know what? Now that I'm a dad and a granddaddy, I don't believe in going to the movies. I don't believe in going to the movies. I ain't not going to cuss you out if you go to the movies. That's between you and God. That's a standard in my life. And I kindly adopted that from the home to start with, from my childhood. But you know what? If my mama would have promoted sin, listen, I can't blame it on her. If she didn't have a standard, if she never had a conviction in my home, listen, it's still my responsibility to obey the word of God. It's still my responsibility to walk in his way. It's my responsibility. I'll never be able to stand before God and go, God, I would have feared you if my mama would have just feared you. I'd have feared you if my daddy would have done right. Friend, let me tell you something. My daddy didn't do right and my mama didn't do halfway right. But I can promise you one thing. I won't have to give an account for or because of them. God's going to hold me accountable, hold me responsible. He's going to hold you responsible. I got to hurry. Listen, it's amazing that we can blame things on other people, and that's our doctrine. I'm going to quit. I'll quit. I'll finish the rest after our food. But if that kind of stuff, Eric, can be true, then why can't the Calvinists be true? Huh? If we can blame our life on our mamas and daddies, if we can blame our lives on our misfortunes, if we can blame our lives on others and what others has done to us, well, man, I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. If we can blame it on that, friend, why couldn't the Sons of Covenant be okay? Why couldn't I be the son of a Calvinist and go to heaven because my daddy was elected? Huh?
That's what they believe. That's the sons of covenant. That's what most of them believe. If I was elected, listen, isn't it amazing that all the covenant's children are elected also? They're the sons of covenant. It's just as stupid as that is. That's how stupid it is to blame our stuff on everybody else in the sight of God. God don't accept that. It's not an excuse. He told you, whether your mama does, whether your daddy does, whether your brother or sister, your son or your daughter, your neighbor, he doesn't. He told you to fear God and walk in all of his ways. It's pretty good. And if you'll do that, your mama can be a crack prostitute down in the ghetto. God's going to bless you, friend. Your daddy can be the biggest drunk, whoremongering drunk this country's ever known. But if you'll fear God and walk in all of his ways, he'll bless you. He'll bless you. We'll look at some of these verses later. Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, oh God. Lord, to get a hold of this fear, dear God. This walking with you and submitting ourselves and giving ourselves wholly to you. Redeeming the time, dear God. Not wasting any time in this old wicked state. Help us, oh God. We pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. Thank you, dear God, for the listeners today. For everybody that's here, I pray, God, that you would appropriate this somehow into their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.